This is Daniel Cobb, doctor of oriental medicine, and welcome to my radio show, Natural Medicine. I've been a doctor of oriental medicine for about 10 years. I've published articles in national holistic healthcare journals such as Wellbeing Journal and the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine. I've got articles published on the Foundation for Alternative and Integrative Medicine website. And for the past 4 years, I've been teaching anatomy and physiology at various schools in Santa Fe and Albuquerque. Today's show is going to be on this topic of mercury and dental amalgam fillings. And I am absolutely thrilled to have calling in for an interview Freya Koss. And to begin the story, Freya, are you there?
I certainly am, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, and what I'd like to do is just have you introduce yourself, but I'm thinking that maybe you should introduce yourself as of about 1998, when the story sort of begins.
Certainly I will. In 1998, I was suddenly struck with double vision walking out of the theater one evening. And it's a condition I never had before, and I actually had no idea what happened to me. I waited 9 days, and finally I went to my optometrist. And she was extremely alarmed at my condition. She sent me to a neurologist at the University of Pennsylvania the following day, and they ran several blood tests and whatever, and 4 days later I received a phone call from them to come down immediately that my blood work was abnormal. I had no idea what could have happened. All I knew is that I had this incredible double vision, which made it difficult for me to maneuver and couldn't even watch television any longer. So the neurologist there examined me again, and he looked at me and he said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you've got multiple sclerosis or lupus. I can't begin to tell you how shocked I was, because I had had two friends my age, I was 56 at the time, who both died, one of each of those diseases, and I know how they suffered.
And just for the background for the listeners, those diseases typically, within the context of conventional medicine, are never cured.
No, they're not cured.
Right.
Often people suffer for many, many years, and they're on all kinds of medication, and often they die.
Yeah.
I asked the doctor what causes these diseases, and he looked at me and he said, there's no known etiology. We have no idea. But we'll fix your eyes up with prednisone. But you better get used to this. You're going to be sick for the rest of your life. I'll never forget that. I cried a lot. I left the office. Oh, before I left the office, I told him I wasn't going to take prednisone because I knew what the side effects were. And I drove home sort of in a daze. I stopped off at the...
And you drove home yourself with your double vision.
One eye closed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The only way that you can eliminate the double vision is to cover one eye. So when I realized that, I stopped off at the drugstore and I bought an eye patch. And I wore that eye patch for a very long time. But the first thing I did was I decided that I would find out what did this to me. Because you just don't get multiple sclerosis or lupus in a day.
Right, right.
And I proceeded to go online to find out what caused this sudden onset of double vision.
And can I interject here just for, you know, if anybody's thinking about going through, you know, that they may know somebody who's going through similar kinds of conditions, that the one thing that sticks out of your story is that you tried to the greatest extent possible to take control of your own health care. And that's probably the most important part of your story, or one of the most important parts of your story.
And that is exactly what I do. I advocate to be your own best friend, to challenge. I shouldn't say the word challenge, I suppose, but question the diagnoses that you're given by a physician. Do your own research. Do your own homework. Don't just accept. Because it's my belief that there's probably a cause for almost every disease. I'm not saying that there's one particular cause, but there could be several things that you as a patient, as a consumer, may be able to take care of on your own, like diet. Nutrition is extremely important. Supplements. After this happened to me, I took 100 supplements a day. But I think I'm skipping a bit here.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to go back to how I found out what happened to me. May I do that?
Oh, yes, okay. Yes.
Okay. So I actually came home with that eye patch, and I went online. And I stayed online 20 hours a day until my head hit the desk, 5 days. And on the fifth day at 3:30 in the morning, I was reading a blog. At that time, they weren't called blogs, but it was a discussion on eye conditions, because all I knew is that I had an eye condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading what a woman from England had written. She said that she had double vision. She was diagnosed with MS 10 years before. And she heard about the link between mercury in silver amalgam dental fillings and multiple sclerosis. So she went to an ordinary dentist who was not trained to safely remove her dental fillings. She had two fillings removed and two white composite fillings placed. 7 days later, she was struck with double vision again. And I realized at that moment that 7 days before, exactly 7 days before, I had had an old, what I thought was a silver filling, drilled out, and a new filling placed. The new filling was another silver amalgam dental filling.
Which, just to be clear, contains about 50% mercury.
Every silver amalgam filling contains 50% mercury. Yes, it's a known neurotoxin.
Yeah. Freya, we're going to have to go to a break for a few minutes, but then we'll come back and you can continue this story.
All right, thank you.
This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine. And today we have Freya Koss as a guest, who's telling her story about dental amalgam fillings and mercury poisoning. And Freya, you were telling us about having a filling replaced.
Yes, I had that filling replaced, and 7 days later I was struck with double vision and diagnosed with MS, lupus, and then myasthenia gravis when my eyelids started to droop. In addition to the double vision, I then lost my equilibrium. I was unable to actually walk without assistance. And I developed Raynaud's syndrome, which is a condition whereby the small vessels close up in the extremities, so my hands would get very cold and white. And I had drooping eyelids within a couple of weeks of the dental work that I had done. What happened with the dental work was that I was exposed to very high levels of mercury vapor during the drilling out of an old amalgam filling because there was a cavity underneath it. And then they placed a new mercury filling in the very deep cavity, and I was then exposed to additional mercury through another source.
Now let's I want to clarify for the listeners that one of the most dangerous time frames for a mercury amalgam filling is either when it's put in or when it's drilled out, because both of those create a large amount of mercury vapor, which is the primary mechanism for getting mercury into a person's bloodstream. And so you had both of those events happen in a single visit.
Yes. And I was poisoned.
Right. And you had, just, you know, for background purposes, you had other mercury amalgam fillings in your mouth, but you and maybe some very subtle symptoms related to that, but nothing very significant. This was a very, very sudden change.
You know, if you have mercury fillings in your teeth, you're exposed to small amounts of mercury every single day. As long as those fillings are in your teeth, the mercury vapors are released from chewing, from hot liquids, from brushing your teeth, and the mercury accumulates in the body, in the brain, and in the organs. But the symptoms can be very mild and gradual, and they can be symptoms that nobody ever really relates to your mercury fillings. On this particular occasion, I was acutely poisoned during that dental treatment because there were no precautions taken whatsoever to protect me during the drilling out nor the replacement of the fillings. There are dentists who are trained to protect their patients and their staff during this process. There's an organization called the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, and that is a membership of dentists who are mercury-free. They're biological dentists who, for the most part, haven't used mercury in their practices for many years. And their offices are set up to remove the mercury vapors from the operatory and prevent the patient from breathing in those vapors. There are many precautions that are taken. They have equipment that pull the mercury vapors out of the operatory. The patient's head is covered. Their eyes are covered. They're given a source of oxygen, and their bodies are covered as well. The dentists use gas masks. I mean, that's how lethal the mercury vapors are from drilling out and placing new amalgam fillings.
Right, and there is a long history of not only dental patients with mercury amalgam fillings, but also dental assistants and dentists themselves from, you know, long-term exposure to amalgam filling placing and removing, this is a fairly common occurrence. Is that
occupational exposure is well known. In fact, there was a case that was just one in Norway. You know, Norway, Denmark, and Sweden have banned the use of mercury fillings. They did that in 2009. And there's a case that was just one in Norway by dental assistants. Who were all severely poisoned from working in the dental office without being protected. Some of their illnesses and symptoms are brain cancer, cognitive problems, miscarriage, infertility. Those are the women. The dentists, there have been studies done of the damage and harm to dentists. In fact, there was a study done recently by Dr. Duplinski about the occupational exposure and harm to dentists. It's well known. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely well known. There's scientific documentation. I mean, they're exposed to it daily. They're exposed to it, you know, more than the patient that comes in every so often to have a filling placed. They're exposed to it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And so let's continue on with your, you know, story here. You got an idea from this blog from England that it probably tied back to the dental amalgam filling. And then how did you proceed from there?
Well, I continued my research because I knew that I had to have my fillings removed. I had 12 teeth filled. And I contacted the office of Dr. Huggins in Colorado because he had written the first book I discovered on the dangers of mercury fillings.
Yeah, he was in fact probably the first dentist to come out and say, "I think this is, you know, with scientific evidence, okay, that I think the mercury in these fillings are very, very dangerous."
Oh yeah, he is the first dentist who did that, and he was condemned by the American Dental Association for doing so. He actually lost his license several years later.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a maverick on this issue, and if it wasn't for his work and his writing and his research, we probably would not be aware of it in this country today. So we have to thank Dr. Hal Huggins for what he did and what he continues to do to help people.
So now how did you, so once you contacted Dr. Huggins' office and got more information, how did you proceed?
Dr. Huggins referred me to a mercury-free dentist in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I live in the Philadelphia area.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to have somebody drive me to the office. It was 3 hours away. The doctor's name is Dr. Blanche Groovy, and she is the first dentist in Pennsylvania, actually, who installed an amalgam separator in her office, which prevents the mercury from her office from going into the wastewater, which is very, very important. That's another issue of the environmental contamination from mercury in a dental office. But I did go up to see Dr. Groovy, and she slowly, within, I think, 4 or 5 visits, removed all of the mercury fillings in my teeth using the SAFE protocol for dental amalgam removal. The first time I went, she took a Jerome meter reading of the levels of mercury that were coming off my teeth, particularly where that last filling was placed, and they were exceedingly high. And as you said, the greatest exposure to mercury from fillings is during the drilling out of an old filling and the placement of a new one. And this was only several weeks since that had been done. So the levels of mercury were very, very high. I was fairly sick at that time. I had, you know, the double vision, the drooping eyelids, and the loss of equilibrium. Now, within, I would say, 6 to 8 weeks of having all of the fillings removed, I started to regain my equilibrium. I've never had a problem with it since. The double vision remained, slowly dissipated. However, I am left with some permanent damage, and I still have some double vision peripherally. My eyelids drooped. I look like somebody beat me up for about 3.5 years. I was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis when my eyelids started to droop, because that is one of the biomarkers for that autoimmune disease. In mm-hmm. fact, Aristotle Onassis died of myasthenia gravis. It's very, very serious disease. And again, the doctors, the neurologists, they claim there's no known etiology for myasthenia gravis.
Right. And therefore, and also no known cure.
And no known cure,
it's a disease that tends to be managed. And the goal is to try to make it not get worse?
Manage the symptoms with drugs like Mestinon, which is a temporary relief and can cause other problems, like gastrointestinal problems.
Right.
I never took a drug.
Mm-hmm.
I never took a drug. I never had surgery to fix my eyes. I was treated by an alternative environmental medical doctor who did diagnose me with mercury poisoning from that dental work.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me vitamin C IV drips and prescribed, probably I was taking about 100 supplements a day.
Now, Freya, what I want to do at this point is go to another break, and we'll come back and discuss the treatment.
Okay.
To remove the toxic mercury buildup. This is Daniel Cupp, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and today we're talking about mercury toxicity and dental amalgam fillings with Freya Koss, who has a very personal story to tell. And Freya, why don't you continue to tell us about the treatment to remove the addition, you know, the accumulated mercury from the tissues?
Okay. Well, I think there are many things you can do, and as we know, everybody is affected differently. So, what I took as supplements is not necessarily what somebody else would be prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain things that everybody can do to try to eliminate the mercury from their body. One is saunas. I mean, you go into a sauna and you sweat, and so the mercury is eliminated through the skin. The other thing is diet. I didn't eat fish for probably 10 years because of the mercury content in fish. Mm-hmm. And now the only fish I eat is Alaskan king salmon, mm-hmm. and perhaps shellfish on an occasion. That's, you know, it's very important.
Right.
I changed my diet. I ate no sugar, no wheat, only organic food. Lots of green vegetables and organic meat and organic eggs. I can't explain to you why, but certain proteins are advantageous to detox, and one is red meat, and the other one is eggs and certain proteins.
Let me throw in the possible explanation is that the amino acids for that's a breakdown product of proteins, are easily attached to a mercury atom, having sort of an opposite charge. And so the amino acids that result from consuming a high-quality protein will sort of escort the mercury out of your body.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. Because I didn't exactly know why I was doing that, but I certainly did it.
Yes.
And some of the other supplements that most people who are mercury poisoned take and are beneficial are high amounts of buffered vitamin C. I mean, I was taking a vitamin C in a powder form,
mm-hmm.
and taking up to 10,000 milligrams a day. Also, selenium, mm-hmm. manganese, magnesium, CoQ10, or the form of CoQ10 that I take is ubiquinol, B complex, B2, vitamin E, vitamin D3, a multivitamin, and I take Carlson's fish oil
mm-hmm.
every single day.
And that makes a lot of sense, because you have to protect the fish oil is going to nourish the nervous tissue, and that's the primary point of attack for mercury.
That's true. That is very true. That's why so many illnesses related to the nervous system, neurological illnesses, can very well be as a result of mercury fillings. And I just, I wish that the medical profession would acknowledge this instead of just treating people with medication, prescriptive mm-hmm. drugs, when the body can really heal. You know that.
Right.
The body can heal itself. And that's why we, as you said in the beginning of the program, you need to take charge of your own health.
Yeah.
Some of the other supplements that are prescribed for people who have mercury poisoning are alpha lipoic acid and NAC and amino acids.
Yeah. And let me add one. It's a relatively newcomer on the in the field of supplements, is acetyl glutathione. Glutathione is a supplement that has a strong detoxifying effect and is a great benefit to the immune system. But it can detox not only heavy metals such as mercury, but also pesticides, herbicides, things that come from petroleum distillates. And historically, the problem with acetyl glutathione is that it is destroyed by stomach acid because it's a tripeptide. So that, you only get about 10-15% of it, that survives even if you take it on an empty stomach. But with the acetyl glutathione, it's protected from stomach acid. You get somewhere between 60-80% that survives into the bloodstream, and this can be very valuable. It's not the number one chelator of mercury, because you'll never get as much glutathione as you do vitamin C. So vitamin C is the number one chelator of mercury because it's so plentiful that you can actually take, as you have, 10 grams per day. and so it is sort of the first on the list. But keep going.
Oh, as far as the treatment goes?
Yeah, yeah.
I took many, many other supplements. One mm-hmm. supplement I take is huperzine A. It's a Chinese herb, mm-hmm. and that's for cognitive function. Interestingly enough, it's extremely helpful to me because one of the first symptoms of mercury poisoning from dental fillings is mental. You can have depression. You can have anxiety. Schizophrenia has been, in some cases, related to mercury toxicity. Mm-hmm. It affects the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it also can cause short-term memory loss. Mercury from dental fillings has been scientifically associated with Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the first thing that happens with dementia is short-term memory loss, and then it just escalates.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know of people who have recovered from Alzheimer's disease after they've had their dental fillings removed and mm-hmm. done a heavy-duty detox program.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was a book written about a gentleman who recovered after he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at the age of 50.
Mm.
So this is this is known. Unfortunately, the medical community is still not looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So huperzine A is very beneficial to me, and it's used in China for people with Alzheimer's disease. So I think the point I'm making is each individual has to find out what benefits them because we're all affected differently.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the other diseases that have been related to mercury from dental fillings is Parkinson's disease and ALS.
Mm-hmm.
Also
diseases,
thyroid conditions.
Diseases of the neurological tissue.
Yes.
Not the thyroid, but the ALS and the Parkinson's.
I think it also can affect the thyroid as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
It can affect every function of the body.
Right.
And I think another element here that I think is important is that there can be a genetic predisposition to not being able to excrete mercury. And I'm one of those individuals. There is a test that's done. Interestingly enough, it's done for people who have symptoms of dementia. it's called an APOE3. It's APOE test. It's a blood test. And I had APOE 3-4. And if you've got a 3-4 or a 4-4, your test results are going to indicate that in all likelihood you can get Alzheimer's disease. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I don't have Alzheimer's disease. but that's what the report said. So
right.
There's so much that the medical profession is not looking at, and that's why, as you said in the beginning of the program, you know, be your own advocate.
Right.
And that's what I encourage.
Right. And I was actually looking up on the APOE. It looks like that it affects the ability of your body to detox metals with amino acids, so that, you know, one of the prime, you know, sort of in second place after vitamin C, one of the prime mechanisms for detoxifying is limited. But let's keep going. And, you know, one of the other topics I wanted to ask you about was, where do you think you would be today if you had just sat back and took medical advice?
I think I could be in a wheelchair today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the initial diagnosis was multiple sclerosis,
mm-hmm. which tends to limit your mobility, and people do end up in wheelchairs with multiple sclerosis.
Yep. Now it depends. You know, that's why it's important to address any symptoms that you might have at a very early stage,
mm-hmm.
and if you have mercury fillings in your teeth, to have them removed safely, hopefully before you have any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Because often, this, you know, you won't have them until you're mid-age or later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would recommend is that if you have mercury fillings in your teeth, go to the website iaomt.org and look up a doctor.
Right. Now, I'm going to repeat that. IAOMT. International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. And typically, a dentist associated with this group will put it right on their website, right on their sign out front, because in their view, and in our view probably also, it's one of the most important things to know about a particular dentist.
Yeah, and I'm going to also suggest something else, that anybody listening to this program that is would like to have their fillings removed, that they go to that website, iaomt.org,
mm-hmm.
and look under their listing for articles. And once they do that, they'll come up with an article and a video on safe removal of dental amalgam fillings, so they will know the questions to ask the dentist to make mm-hmm. certain that that dentist is actually using that safe protocol.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very important. And there's also, I wanted to mention another website. It's mercuryexposure.info. That website has many, many interviews of consumers and dentists and scientists and information on occupational exposure as well. It's full of information for people who are seeking to know more about the subject matter.
Okay, I think we're going to go to a break once again, Freya, and we'll come back and we still have more topics to talk about.
Okay.
This is Daniel Cobb, Dr. Voynal Benison, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine. We're here talking with Freya Koss about mercury poisoning and the connection to dental amalgam fillings. And Freya, I did, you know, I was listening to you talk, you know, over and over and over again about the neurological symptoms. And I just wanted to throw in my, you know, just a touch of my personal history, because I also had a mouthful of amalgam fillings, and I had them removed about 20 years ago. And I just wanted to, you know, let everybody know that it's not an accident that you're mentioning over and over and over neurological symptoms. It's well-researched material. That's what almost all the literature says. And it's also my experience. You mentioned depression. I experienced depression. It was sort of a low-grade, constantly there kind. But, you know, from my personal experience, I back up everything you say. In the beginning, back in 1998, you were a businesswoman.
Yes, I had an event planning business.
And I've also read that you played tennis, you took ballet, all, you know, things that require excellent equilibrium. And did you ever go back to any of those things?
I have not played tennis. No,
okay.
Because it's been difficult because of my eye condition.
Uh-huh.
Not the ability to, you know, maneuver on the tennis court because of body strength or agility, but it would be difficult with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And on the side, the reason I haven't gone back to ballet, although I would really love to, is because I have an additional hip problem, which I'm taking care of. So that's prevented me from doing that. But believe me, I will go back to it as soon as that's taken care of.
Okay. And the event planner business, was that lost?
I had to give that up.
Uh-huh.
I was so sick.
Uh-huh.
There was no way that I could continue
right.
that business.
I mean, I could understand concentration, attention to detail.
Well, it's very stressful, and there's a lot of physical requirements.
Right.
So I was not able to do that, but
right.
instead, I really put myself into bringing public awareness
mm-hmm.
about the dangers of mercury fillings, because I realized that the general public had no knowledge of it. I mean, they call them silver. That's deceptive.
Right.
My dentist never told me
mm-hmm.
that a silver amalgam filling contained 50% mercury.
And that's an important point, is I believe from your story, the first point at which you actually realized there was mercury in these silver fillings was when you were doing those 5 days' worth of searching for information on the Internet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I went back to the dentist, a local dentist here, not the one that had removed and replaced that filling that day, the one I had seen for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He didn't want to talk about it. They really, the dentists, unfortunately, are fearful of discussing the health ramifications of mercury fillings, because the American Dental Association has put a fear in them,
right.
has told them not to do that.
And the fear is well-founded. People have lost their license because they criticized they would say that the amalgam fillings are dangerous.
Yes, they have. Dentists have lost their licenses, and I contend, or hopefully, this will not continue to happen, because there's so much knowledge now about the dangers of mercury fillings. And not only knowledge, but recently there was a treaty signed by 94 countries in Japan. It's a United Nations treaty it's a legally binding mercury treaty
mm-hmm.
that will require the phase down of mercury amalgam dental fillings worldwide. I mean, that wouldn't happen if the acknowledgement that mercury from dental fillings is a danger to health and the environment.
Right. So at that point, it becomes much harder for dental authorities, the ADA, the CDC, the FDA to say, oh, these fillings are actually safe and effective. Because the rest of the world is signing up to say that they're not.
Which is quite interesting, because you mentioned the FDA.
Yeah.
And the Food and Drug Administration were sued. That agency was sued for not classifying dental amalgam.
Mm-hmm.
And once they classified it with no risk, and they completely ignored all of the scientific evidence. And then they were sued again to reclassify it, which they agreed to, and they're just sitting on it. So they're not protecting the American public.
And just to let you know how things work in Washington, I'm sure you've heard the name Margaret Hamburg.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And she's the person in the FDA who's responsible for working out the wording for this classification of amalgam fillings as dangerous. And she is a major shareholder of the Shine Corporation, which is the number one producer of the amalgam material.
Yep.
So, you know, flaming conflict of interest.
That's true. I'm not sure if she's still still in that position at Shine. She may have withdrawn, but you're absolutely right. When that was brought to her attention, it was a glaring conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
But the government is not protecting the public. NIH is not protecting the public either.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really frightening, and it's unfortunate that we live in a country like this. You know, President Obama, about a year ago, in one of his talks, said we have to protect children against mercury. Well, they don't seem to be doing it. Not, and certainly not in their mm-hmm. dental fillings.
Right.
There's no reason whatsoever to continue to use amalgam fillings to fill teeth. There's none, because there are safe alternatives available, and they have been available since 1970.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that anybody going to the dentist, even if they're going to a clinic that serves the lower socioeconomic community.
Where they're more likely to use amalgam because it's cheaper.
It's fast and it's cheap.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. But if you go to those clinics and you stamp your foot and you insist my kid or my relative cannot get amalgam fillings, you can probably get composites pretty easily.
Well, would you like me to tell you what happened in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
With regard to that? Okay. I had a bill passed in Philadelphia in 2007. City Council passed an ordinance which requires dentists in the city to give their patients an informed consent fact sheet, which gives them the advantages and the disadvantages of a filling and advises them that these fillings are not silver, that they're 50% mercury, and specifically can be harmful to children and the unborn fetus. Now, that fact sheet has been given out to patients and parents at these clinics, and the parents have been telling the dentist, we don't want you to place the mercury filling in our children's teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And the dentists at some of these clinics have literally refused to place a white composite filling in their teeth and tell them to go elsewhere. And it's really criminal. It's absolutely criminal. The Pennsylvania Department of Welfare will cover a white composite filling for any patient who's under the medical assistance program. But the dentists aren't telling these patients that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said it. It's because it's faster to put in an amalgam filling. But mm-hmm. in the long run, it's dangerous, and it becomes more expensive.
Oh, far more expensive because of all the health care problems that result.
The health care problems, yes, and also the fact that that the amalgam filling will corrode, crack, and then you'll end up with a root canal or a crown and eventually lose your tooth, and then you'll need a bridge. I mean, they just put a white filling in because it requires the removal of much larger part of the tooth when you place an amalgam filling than a white composite filling.
Now, I do want to emphasize one more point for you, is that in scheduling this interview, I had to work around your testimony in Pennsylvania, so that you know, one of your primary responsibilities in your life right now is to go around where you can and to try to educate the world about how dangerous these fillings are. And I want to stand up and applaud that effort.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, when I found out what happened to me, I just couldn't walk away. You know, mm-hmm. I realized that, you know, thousands and probably millions of people have been affected, and they're not aware that their illnesses may be caused from their fillings, or that the fillings may be contributing mm-hmm. to their illness. And this happened to me in March of 1998, and by October, I had arranged for a symposium at the University of Pennsylvania Medical School
mm-hmm.
on the subject matter, and people came from all over to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then from there on, we had many events to educate the public here in the Philadelphia area. I have testified at the FDA hearings on this subject matter and the State Department hearings and FDA town meetings in San Francisco and Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. I will do everything to educate the public.
It looks like we're out of time. I hate to cut you off. I love the interview. We're out of time. That wraps up the show today. I want to thank all the listeners for joining us today. And I thank you for calling in, sharing your story.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.